Welcome to the Well Woman Show, where we interview women executives, leaders, and entrepreneurs.
And you're listening to the Well Woman Show,
where motivated women achieve fulfillment and well-being.
You're listening to the Well Woman Show.
Take time for myself by coming to things like Well Woman drinks.
To be accepting of myself no matter what. Step away from judgment as much as possible.
You're listening to the Well Women Show.
You're going to be in for a good ride. I don't regret anything. Everything I've ever done, I've learned from it, one way or another, good or bad.
Being a little bit selfish for yourself, you know, put your own oxygen mask on first and then give what's left.
I'm a woman. I would prefer to tell my own story. My story, though it's very personal, is universal.
You're listening to the Well Woman Show. And now your host, Giovanna Rossi.
Hi, Giovanna Rossi here, and welcome to another episode of The Well Woman Show, where I interview women leaders, executives, and entrepreneurs about their lives and their road to becoming and being who they are today. Are you at the top of your game professionally, but feeling burned out, or finding it hard to focus on your goals, or unfulfilled personally? Or are you in transition, simply juggling so many things, you find it hard to take care of your own needs? Well, you're not alone. We all need to activate the four universal superpowers. These are the internal strengths and abilities we all already have but don't use all the time. Superpowers can be cultivated, and they include awareness, intuition, action, and acceptance. Toward the end of the show, in a segment called Superpowers for Success, I ask my guest about her superpowers, and the answers will give you the strength, perspective, and power to live a well woman life. I'm so happy you're here, so thanks for tuning in. This episode of the Well Woman Show is brought to you by Collective Action Strategies, supporting organizations that support women and families, and by Well Woman Life Movement Challenge Quiz, your resource for living your best life. If you're in burnout or major transition, this is your time to figure out what's holding you back from making the changes you need to make in order to live your fullest, most joyful life. The cause of all of our challenges, personal or professional, can actually be rooted in the lack of internal superpowers and/or external supports. Our Well Woman Life Framework tells you which stage of the Well Woman life cycle you're in and what to do about it so you can truly live your best life. You can find out more at wellwomanlife.com/quiz. I'm so thankful for support from Natural Awakenings Magazine in New Mexico, a monthly green, healthy lifestyle publication. And for support from High Desert Yoga, promoting optimum physical health, clarity of mind, and spiritual inspiration for all. Hello, hello, and welcome. If you're new to the show, I want to give you a big, warm welcome to the Well Woman Show, where we create space for women who are busy, busy, successful leaders who may be in burnout or transition and are just really looking for community and support to really be and live their best lives. So welcome. And if you don't know, we are also on NPR. You can go to npr.org and find all of the podcasts there. And we would love a review on iTunes. If you rate and review the show, we might read your review out on the air. And so, that is something that we're starting to do every week. And before we get started, I want to let you know that our next deep dive workshop is June 20th. You can join online or in person. And you just go to wellwomanlife.com/events for more information about that. And this next deep dive is June 20th. It's going to be led by Linda Strauss, who is a certified leader in the totally responsible person practice. And she's an HR consultant and is a certified mediator. She's going to teach how to eliminate negativity and shake off those things we take personally, how to stay positive, productive, and effective no matter what, and how to demonstrate character and focus on what matters in every moment of every day. So that's going to be awesome. It's June 20th. Definitely check out wellwomanlife.com/events for more information. And I want to let you know about our guests today. I'm so excited to share with you that we have the first millennial to lead a city department in Albuquerque, New Mexico. and she's the director of aviation. She's the first woman to serve as a director of the Department of Aviation. And she comes to the city from the New Mexico Technology Council, which is the state's only business association for the technology industry, where she served as president and CEO. She's passionate about technology, entrepreneurship, women's issues, and the economic health of New Mexico. So on this episode, we talk about tons of things, including how being a millennial has helped and hurt her career, what makes her prepared to run the aviation department, and what she's most excited about as a millennial woman executive. And also, we talk a lot about her leadership and how we define good leadership and how she has developed her leadership abilities. And if you go to wellwomanlife.com/119show, you can download her free giveaway on leadership, which is really awesome. Definitely go check it out, wellwomanlife.com/119show. You can also continue the conversation in the Well Woman Life community group at wellwomanlife.com/Facebook. And I want to thank our sponsors, Natural Awakenings Magazine in New Mexico and High Desert Yoga in Albuquerque. And now to my interview with Nika Allen. I'm speaking with Nika Allen, Director of Aviation at the City of Albuquerque, and we're sitting in her beautiful executive office at the airport. Welcome to the program.
Thank you for having me.
The moment I walked in, I thought, oh, there's a female executive working here.
Yes, it definitely changed a little bit from our former director and directors of the past, because I'm the first woman executive and woman director of aviation here for the City of Albuquerque.
Okay. And so coming to the job without a degree in aviation and having never run an airport before, what is your background and how do you feel prepared to take on this enormous responsibility?
So I went to the University of New Mexico and I got a degree in international management. So while it's definitely not the same, there actually were quite a few aspects of kind of the travel and tourism industry and the business side of all of that that I did spend a lot of time on. So I think I'm kind of coming in with that mentality and I have that in my tool belt already. And then I'm learning a lot of the more technical side of running an actual airport. And so I think for me, I'm a lifelong learner, so I'm never going to stop. And so this is just another great thing for me to continue to add into what I already know.
Yeah. And you were the director of the Technology Council, so you have a technical background. What kinds of decisions are you having to make on a daily basis? I mean, you clearly don't need to know how to, you know, fly a plane because that's not what you're doing. You're in an executive position. So isn't it more about leadership and management, really, than the technical aspect?
Yes, I would definitely say it's much more about leadership and management in general, people management, definitely a lot of people management. I have an incredible team here at the airport. The Sunport is a phenomenal place to work, and we have a lot of subject matter experts here that are very technical within their own field. And so we have operations officers, we have, you know, custodial maintenance managers, maintenance workers, airfield maintenance. And so they are all really, you know, construction as well, very technical, each within their own field. And so more, you know, I like to try to learn from each of them and lean on them a bit as the subject matter expert and kind of always come in asking questions rather than assuming that I know exactly what I'm doing or what the answer is. I may not always agree with the subject matter expert on everything for one reason or another, of course, but I think that is more in just the leadership and management. I listen to multiple perspectives on an issue and then come to my conclusion.
And having been brought in by the new mayor, Mayor Tim Keller of Albuquerque, you probably work closely with him and his staff on sort of vision and direction. Or are you crafting that yourself? And what is that?
You know, the mayor has put in place a really great kind of overall strategy for the city as a whole, which I love. He's really given us a lot of great direction, but he's also given us enough latitude within our own departments to make some decisions about how to best progress our department and the city as a whole. We're working on this One City initiative, so we're really all coming from that place and looking towards his, you know, philosophical goals and vision, and we're looking to see how we can support that within our own departments. And so I absolutely love that strategy. We're actually working on a lot of strategy right now. So we came together with a bunch of ideas, and we're actually about to jump into the nitty-gritty of it and really break down every single piece of it and kind of come to agreements on what direction we want to take our city.
And Nico, what have been some of the biggest challenges coming into this, not only the new position, but just the job? Like, what kinds of things are you having to grapple with?
So I came from a very, very small business in the private sector. So I think just the jump to being in a huge organization like the city and moving to the public sector, that in itself came with a whole host of challenges, just learning the system, learning all the people. It's much more of a political engine, so learning all of that, learning how to work with different people from different levels and different that have different focuses, I guess, because not everyone's working at the airport. So I'm definitely here to support the airport, but there's a lot of people with a lot of other goals and ways that they want to help our city. So I think finding the balance there has been challenging. Learning the whole technical side of running an airport from, you know, airfield operations to how an airport makes money and makes its own revenue, those are all very challenging things, and they're different, relatively different, actually, for every single airport you would go to all across the world. So they like to say, if you've been to one airport, you've been to one airport, because they're all just so different, and there's so many complexities in that. Everything from the financial structure, which has been, you know, that in itself, I don't come with a finance background per se, but I have some great people, again, in this finance department that are helping me to really learn and understand what we're doing and, you know, how we get the revenue to support the infrastructure that we have here at the airport.
And in terms of women in leadership at the airport and working in aviation, do you see do you have any sense of, are there more women coming into aviation? And can you talk about that?
Well, here in Albuquerque, we're certainly looking to hire more women into executive and leadership roles. So I'm really excited about that. I think that is not only a goal of mine, but that's definitely a goal of Mayor Keller's and the city. And so you've already seen probably that he's had a great influx of women into leadership roles, which I so appreciate. And so I definitely want to continue that trend here at the airport.
And what makes a good leader, Nika? I mean, man, woman, you know, whichever. What makes a good leader, do you think?
I personally think that a good leader is one who listens, who puts their people first, who has a kind of guiding mission or philosophy that they'll never let go. I think that, you know, being strong about your decisions, whether they're right or wrong, is good. Being not afraid to kind of fight for what you believe in. And so there are certain things about running this airport where people will tell me, you know, they disagree with this for one reason or another, and I don't. And I'm going to stand by my vision, because that's how I think we should behave as an airport. And that's more of a philosophical understanding of myself, I think. And I want the people who work with me to understand that. And those are things I probably won't sway on. But then also that capability to learn and always learn and trust your team and empower your team, I think, is huge, because no one wants to work with someone if you're shutting them down all the time or not listening to them. I really honestly 100% view my team as my experts. And so I will always come to them first to ask what they think in a situation. And as a leader, I think you have to be strong enough to know that that's okay, that that's not actually putting yourself down. That's putting your people first, and that's using your resources to the best that you can. And so I think sometimes you see leaders come in and they maybe are nervous that they don't know everything. And then that kind of perpetuates this actually really negative, awful cycle. And I've seen that happen. And it's destructive and it's a terrible thing to do. And so I always kind of want to be exactly the opposite of that.
Yeah. When there's a lot of fear involved and insecurity, people tend to act on that and behave that way. And then it becomes a cycle that is hard to get out of.
Definitely. And so I've seen some people put into positions where you could just tell they were just fearful and insecure. And instead of allowing their team to support them, especially in the areas that they weren't as strong in, it kind of just led to their demise, unfortunately. And so I, you know, always try to come in strong with my own strengths, but open to others' ideas and others' strengths as well.
So leadership is something that people learn over time. And sometimes it takes a long time. And some of that wisdom that you have about leadership and about management, how do you think you have arrived at this level of leadership at, you know, with not that many years of experience?
I think a lot of it has to do with my family upbringing. I do actually think to some extent there are people that are just born leaders. And we can see that, you know, all over the world with leaders like Mark Zuckerberg and people that came in at a really young age and just have been strong throughout. But I think mine personally has probably come from my family, watching my mom. She was always a huge leader and inspiration in my life. And she was always leading. And so I think I kind of took that and made it into my own and just ran with it. So probably I was born with a bit, took a little from her and watched people around me. You know, business school doesn't hurt, but it does not give you all the answers. That is for sure.
I love that about your mom because it's so true. You know, with parenting, you always want your kids to do what you say, but actually they end up doing what you do. So modeling that behavior is so important. It's so much more important than any words could be, is modeling that behavior.
I 100% agree with that. And without disparaging any other moms, you know, I found that my mom, she really, I think she might say differently, but I think she put work first in my entire childhood and all growing up. She always really put work first. And while at the time it kind of hurt me as a child, like my mom's not going to be at my horseback riding and my mom's not here for my cheerleading. She's not here to take care of me after school. No, because mom is working and mom is trying to make a living for herself, for me. She's trying to better all of us. And she's trying to, more than anything, prove what women can do in this world and how to be the best example that she can be. And so I think that more than anything has just put me onto this path of success and of women leadership. And I don't think that there's any other way than having her model it that I could be where I am today. So I'm so thankful that she didn't come to all of my soccer games and horseback riding events and that I just got to see her succeed and lead.
And isn't it amazing when you can get to that place of true gratitude for what you had as a child? Nika, I want to just move to our segment called Superpowers for Success. So I am speaking with Nika Allen, Director of Aviation for the City of Albuquerque, and we'll be right back. Nika Allen, Director of Aviation for the City of Albuquerque. We're moving into our segment called Superpowers for Success. And the first question, I'm going to ask you a quick round of questions. The first one is, what does success in life mean to you?
I think success in life means finding an occupation where you don't feel like you're working every day, something where you can come in and just absolutely enjoy your time there, enjoy the people that you're working with, be constantly learning and bettering yourself, and, you know, hopefully reach whatever level of that path you feel is right for you. I think that there's not a, you know, a right answer for anyone. And I think that's one of the best parts of being here in this country at this time is that we can all determine what success means to us.
And aside from work, what else does success in life mean for you?
You know, I have to say that's probably the area that I would struggle the most with. But certainly for me, it's, you know, spending time with my friends and family, having a partner that just adores me and will do anything for me, spending time with my animals, things that mean most to me. And other than that, you know, that's just success enough for me.
Okay. And when did you know you were really good at what you do? Was there a moment or a story you can tell that takes you back to that?
I still don't know I'm really good at what I do. I think that that's a funny question. I definitely still do not know that. I think just I don't actually, I can't even pull a time. I think just at one point, stuff just kind of started to click. And I was like, hey, this is working. And just kind of kept doing it and kept doing it. And I think one of my skills is being able to pivot quickly. So if I see that something's not working, I immediately change what I'm doing to move forward. And so kind of always being on this path of just this constant forward motion, I think. And so once I kind of figured that out, I started doing better.
And Nika, have you ever experienced imposter syndrome where you just think, oh my gosh, I'm totally, you know, faking this and someone's going to find out and it's all going to, you know, crash and burn?
Luckily, no, because I think I try to put the imposter right out there in the open and just tell everyone plain and simple. I mean, I actually had a meeting with the FAA and I went to the South Central director of all the FAA, and I just told him, I've never worked in an airport environment before. I know nothing about airports. I don't know what I'm doing. Can you help me understand? Am I totally kind of screwed here? And he actually sat me down. I so appreciated this. And he said, you know what, Nika? The best director and administrator that I've ever had at the FAA was a man that never had been involved in airports or the FAA. And he was the best director that I've ever had. And I think you can do the same. And I mean, I don't know this guy at all, but he gave me those words of wisdom. And that I think just kind of was like, hey, I can do this. You can be a great administrator, a great leader, and you cannot know that much about your subject. As long as, again, you're willing to learn, you bring it back to, I think those are kind of core traits that you need to have and core things that you need to embody in yourself. And if you can maintain those as a leader, you can lead in any capacity. And I truly believe that.
Yeah, definitely. So, Nika, can you describe one personal habit that contributes to your well-being?
I love walking my dogs in the morning. And I try to not let anyone take that time away from me. My partner and I get up in the mornings, we get up like 6-ish and get out there and just walk our dogs. And it kind of sets me right for the day, I think. I would love to say that I'm going to the gym and exercising in the morning, but I'm not doing that. But I think the dog walking just gets me off. I just love spending time with my two little pooches. And I love my neighborhood and just being outside. And it's just a good way to start the day.
Yeah, I love that. I've spoken with so many women leaders and executives, and every single person that I've spoken with has some kind of morning routine that grounds them for the day and really sets them up for, you know, success for that day. And I mean, I have the same thing. I have a morning routine. I have a whole morning routine, but I also like to walk in the morning. I walk my kids to school. And even when, you know, we're in a rush or my husband's like, oh, I could drive them, I still say, no, I want to walk them, because it just creates that time and space to start your day that it's sort of like this routine that you need. So next question is, what superpower did you discover you had only to realize it was there all the time?
I think mine would have to be enthusiasm. And I think that that is something that I probably was born with. I can be shy, I can be quiet, but I'm if I'm excited about something, you will know that I'm so enthusiastic to be there with you, to be learning, to be just involved in whatever I'm doing. And I think every day when I come to work, I try to bring my enthusiasm for the job and my excitement to be there and to be with these people that are working so hard to do tough jobs. And so I think that they're all noticing that. And it's something I'm happy to be able to bring to the team.
That's so interesting because a lot of times our superpowers are actually something that when we were younger, it was something that was a negative, could have been a negative. Like people try to tell you, you know, you're too enthusiastic, you're too positive, you're too this, you're too that. And then later you realize, oh, that's my superpower. Did that ever happen to you?
I have had someone say that to me actually, and kind of to, I guess, save my enthusiasm for when it was really needed, I guess. And I kind of sat on that for a while, and I don't think I agree.
Well, that's because that's your superpower and you're going to use it. So that's awesome. Nico, what do you do when you have a major setback? Like when you get knocked down and you have to just get back up and go, or do you not get back up and go? Do you give yourself a break? How do you handle that?
I definitely need to usually take some time to collect myself. I have had situations where either I heard people speaking bad about me, or I maybe didn't make the right decision, or I was arguing with someone about something. And usually I just need to pull myself back, try to collect myself, and think about a strategic path forward, which might not be the first thing that I jump to if I don't take that time. And so that habit, I don't think I picked up until a little bit more recently. Someone kind of helped me to get into that phase. And so there were some big situations that I had to deal with, and I really kind of harnessed that newly developed skill and worked on it. And I think that that has been really, really helpful to just take that pause, collect myself, and, you know, sit down and think about what I need to get out of XYZ situation.
And what advice would you give yourself, your younger self, say 10 years ago?
I would tell myself that it's okay to take risks. I think that that's one of the things that has given me the most, actually, at this point in time, because if you don't take risks, no one can see your potential. And so I think that that's something that I would tell both myself and any other young person trying to kind of do big things in the world, is just jump out there, take a risk. You may not always be right, but people will see everything that you have behind you. And I think that that is more important than actually being successful.
And so in order to take a risk, you have to kind of be fearless, right? I mean, taking a risk is exactly like overcoming whatever fear it is and going for it. And so how do you deal with fear?
How do I deal with fear? I think I don't know. I honestly don't feel that fearful anymore. I think I try to change fear into challenge and opportunity. And so I don't ever try to put myself, I mean, the things that I would be most fearful about would be like losing my mom, something like that kind of fear that I'll keep as fear. But otherwise, everything else that I might pose as fear, I want to change that into an opportunity for myself or a challenge for myself to do something better or different or sway someone, or, you know, totally depends on the situation. But how can I just make that shift? And once you make that shift within yourself, I think you exude that and you come prepared. You come prepared with confidence and you come prepared with the skills that you need to actually get over that challenge or that hump or what was once fear in your life.
Yeah, definitely. If you replace fear with opportunity, with love, with openness and acceptance instead of, you know, retracting and being closed, I think you can, you don't even have to sort of quote unquote get rid of fear because it's not there, because it's replaced with love and openness and receptivity and all of that.
I think it changed for me when I did experience something that was, I was really fearful of, and then I experienced it. And once you get over that, then you're like, well, nothing can hurt me now. I think that actually gives you kind of a lot of strength, because you can see that people can try to shut you down and try to ruin you. And as long as you are continuing to follow your path of exactly love and following your values and not wavering on those things, there should be nothing that people can do to you.
Okay, wrapping up here. Do you identify as a feminist?
Yes and no. I am, because I think I'm a, you know, female leader. I am certainly pro-women. I, of course, want women to continue to better themselves. I guess I'm not going to do it through that guise. I'm just going to do it through me and through being as supportive as I can of other women and other people that want to find their own success. And so not necessarily feminism, but just support for people.
And Nika, last question, what are you reading right now? What's on your nightstand that you're reading?
Well, you know, I'm just about to pick up this new book here, Simon Sinek's Leaders Eat Last. And I'm really excited about this one because I was just at a conference and got to actually see him speak. And I've been, you know, dying to meet him. And so when I saw that he was actually at this conference, I was so excited. And he gave us a little description too of his next upcoming book. And that just floored me. So I'm going to quickly get through this one and then jump to his next as soon as it gets out.
Okay, so we'll link to that in the show notes, Simon Sinek's Leaders Eat Last. And Nika Allen, it was such a pleasure having you on the show today.
Thank you so much for having me.
That's it for our show today. Remember, if you need support to live your Well Woman life, head over to wellwomanlife.com/Facebook to join us. Our monthly live event, Well Woman Drinks, brings women together to share our successes and challenges as women, leaders, moms, aunts, sisters, and all the other roles we carry. If you'd like to attend a Well Woman Drinks near you, or if there isn't one in your city yet and you'd like to start one, email info@wellwomanlife.com. If you enjoyed the show, please take a moment and subscribe in iTunes and leave a review. This helps raise visibility, which is super helpful when it comes to producing the show every week. For feedback, comments, or just to let me know you were listening today, find me on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram @WellWomanLife. I'm Giovanna Rossi for The Well Woman Show. Until next time, have a super powerful week.